Welcome to the Message Podcast from Church of the Nazarene. We invite you to subscribe for updates and new episodes. You can find us on most major podcast outlets. Visit cotnaz.org for more info. Our worship services stream weekly on Sundays at 9 a.m. on YouTube and Facebook Live. You can also find our live stream at cotnaz.org. Our in-person service times are 9 and 10:30 a.m. We have a campus near Harrisonburg at 1871 Boyers Road. We also have a campus in East Rockingham at 414 South East Side Highway in Elkton. In addition, our Spanish-speaking campus meets on Sundays at 11:45 a.m. at that same 1871 Boyers Road location. Check out our website, cotnaz.org, for more info.
Hey, can I brag about something for a minute? It's not me. It's bragging on Jesus. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor, Church of the Nazarene, so I get to work with Pastor Jared a lot. We meet regularly. We talk about you a lot, like in a good way. Like when you know, grandparents, you like to talk about you find any way. That's just kind of like you're not his grandkids, but I don't know how else to say it. Super proud of you. But I've just been really excited about what God's doing, especially in kids. So let me give you a couple examples. So we're one church. We have three campuses. So in Harrisonburg, where I get the privilege of speaking most often on Sunday, our Esperanza Viva campus, which I speak at sometimes when they want to translate me, but it's our brothers and sisters in Spanish, and then here. And so last weekend was kind of cool because it was Mother's Day. Yeah, moms. And we got to dedicate some kids. And so I think there was one or two that happened here. It's awesome anytime that we get to celebrate new life, and especially when parents say, God, lead us, help us. This is your gift, and that's really what child dedication is for us. The cool thing was, we get to celebrate because we're one church across all our campuses. So at Harrisonburg, it has been like, I think it's like the COVID babies, you know? I don't know. It's like, we had eight different kids that we were dedicating last week. And then Esperanza Viva, because during COVID, they really were disrupted and they weren't meeting a lot in person at all. They had 11 kids. So we had 20 different children last week. That's all. And if you're here, that's your church. It's 20 kids at your church. So I just want to celebrate that. I think that's cool because I'm like, man, God, you're doing something. And then I was looking. So Easter Sunday was incredible. I think you already know you had more people here you've ever had on Easter Sunday at this campus, which was beautiful. And I didn't even count which campus where, but we had just on Easter 262 children at our church across our campuses. And I know there were a lot here. And that doesn't mean that we only care about children and we only celebrate children, but when God is bringing children and they're showing up, God is just doing stuff and new things. So all I say that is to celebrate that God's doing stuff. He's doing new things among us and through our children, through all generations. There's so many stories we could tell today, but I just had children on my mind as they were running down the hall to get to. I love that. I love that they're not running from Kid City. They're running to Kid City. That's a good thing, right? Welcome back. We're in the midst of a series about questions, and I'm going to be honest, I love questions. I literally, in my bag over there, I have a book of questions. I know that's really sad, but I was dating, she's not my wife, but Lauren at the time, and like by my third date, I had asked her so many questions. She bought me a book. I think it was her nice way of saying, like, please ask someone else these, but it was her way of just saying, hey, you ask questions. I love questions. So I was thinking about some puzzling questions this week. Maybe you think about questions like this. First question is this. Why is it called a building when it's already built? Now, maybe there's some great explanation. Please don't burst my bubble because I think that's kind of clever, right? It's called a building when it's already built. This next one really perplexed me, right? Why is there a D in the word fridge but not in refrigerator? As I was typing that, I'm like, are you sure there's not a D in refrigerator? I kept typing it and my autocorrect was like, nope, that is not a word. A kid told me this one recently. They thought they were really funny, and it was cute. When God sneezes, what should you say? I didn't know what to say, but I said, I know one thing. When God sneezes, I'm getting out of the way because I don't know what. That's like a hurricane or something that's going to happen. And that. All right, this next one, it took the last service a long time. I think some are still driving home, and they don't get it. This is a little bit rhetorical. But if pro and con are opposites, wouldn't the opposite of progress or progress be? I'll wait for it, because some of you might have to just lovingly tell your neighbor, it may not be funny to them, but at least help them get there, you know, it's one of those rhetorical. Anyway, this series is not about dumb, silly questions like that, although I love questions in all forms. It's really not even about your questions or my questions. We are learning from the greatest question asker in history, Jesus. If you opened your Bible, if you looked in the Gospels, mine red letters is when Jesus is speaking. So if I examine all the red letters in my Bible, you'd find 340 that we know of questions that Jesus asked in the Gospels. And so we've been learning, and we've been learning that these were important questions when Jesus asked them, like 2,000 years ago to the person. But we're learning that these are really questions for us today, because God's word is alive and active and speaking. And so we're learning, well, what did Jesus mean when he said it then? But then we're also taking some time to reflect and say, well, what does Jesus mean if he asked me that question today? So if you haven't been here, go back and listen on our podcast. You can go back and hear Pastor Jared's sermons the last 2 weeks. But I want to begin with this. Have you ever been asked a question? It wasn't a question that you wanted, but it was probably the question that you needed. In the time, you weren't saying, well, I needed that. But later on, you're like, well, let me give you an example. I have a good friend. He was a pastor at our church for 17 years. His name's Roger, and he's retired from vocational ministry. He's still a part of our Harrisonburg campus and just a faithful, incredible, godly leader. And so Roger and I would get lunch. We still do. We had lunch 2 weeks ago. And Roger knows something about me. He knows that I love to ask questions, but he figured me out. That's what happens when you get to know somebody. They get to know you, right? And so I would ask him questions and take a genuine interest. I was interested, but he knew something about me. You see, it's not just that I ask questions because I'm curious or because I'm interested. He also knows that sometimes, not all the time, sometimes I ask questions because I don't want to talk about myself. Some of you are guilty. You know who you are, right? Sometimes you don't even realize you're doing it. And so one time we were sitting, and he by this time knew me really well, and he wasn't afraid to call it like it is. So I'm in the middle of asking questions, and he just starts shaking his head no. I'm like, what do you mean no? I was asking. He's like, nope, we're not talking about me anymore. We're talking about you. And then he asked me the question. Now, somebody has asked you this question today, and maybe a man, but he asked the question, how are you? Now, somebody asked you that today, and you were like, good, yeah, well, you know, whatever answer you gave. But it was one of those how are yous where he's like staring into your soul. How are you? And I was like, oh, man, I'm busted. Because I don't even think I realized it at that moment, but I wasn't really okay. And I don't think I even knew that, but in that moment with his question, it like penetrated me, and I was like, I'm okay. You know, I don't think I started crying instantly, but it was one of those, it was a question I needed. I didn't know I needed it, but I needed it. I didn't want it, but I needed it. And why do I begin with that? Because today's question, it's the third question in our series. And this is a question Jesus is asking a man who desperately, desperately needed it, and maybe didn't even know. At the time, he didn't want it. In fact, this question is borderline offensive, at least in the context in which we're going to look at today. But it was absolutely the question that he needed, and it changed his life. The question for today is this: do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? We're going to be in John chapter 5 today. Each week in the series, we're looking at a different gospel just to take a different question from a different context, a different writer. And so today, we're going to be in John's gospel, John chapter 5. So if you have your Bible, turn there with me. And if you have if you're a YouVersion Bible event user, every week on the YouVersion Bible app, there's an event set up there, and you can follow along. You can save notes for during the week to go back and reflect. It's a really great resource and tool that Pastor Jared and myself use each and every week. I'm going to ask you to do something today. I know you don't do this every week, and I don't do it every week in Harrisonburg, but sometimes I like to invite you. Would you stand for a minute? We're going to read God's word, just 8 verses. So I'm not going to ask you to stand for long. I know you've been standing already in worship. We don't have to stand when we read God's word, but sometimes I like changing my posture because I want to acknowledge that this is not man's word. This is not my word. This is God's word. And so we want to invite him now to come and to teach us and lead us and show us his truth. So I'm going to be reading verse 1 from John chapter 5. It's on the screen if you don't have it there in front of you. It says this: sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there was in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who had been an invalid for 38 years. Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, and he asked him, do you want to get well? There's our question, right? And I want you to pause for a minute before we read the last couple verses and imagine this question in this context. Jesus says that question to this person, 38 years, lying there, unable to walk. Do you want to get well? Verse 7 says this: sir, The invalid replied, I have no one to help me get into the pool when the water is stirred. I'm trying to get in. Someone else goes down ahead of me. And then Jesus said, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. Before you have a seat, let's pray this morning. God, we thank you that we've gotten to come before you in worship today and in prayer and just pouring out our hearts to you. And now this is your word. And we believe your word is alive and active and speaking. And so we believe that you have something you want to say to us today. You want us to leave this room changed because we've been in your presence, in the presence of others, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and now we've received your word. So help me, give me wisdom today, Lord, and may we not really hear my words at all, but your words today. Thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. You can have a seat. You can have a seat. So today I have questions. That shouldn't surprise you since I like questions, but I have questions about the question. That's when you know that it's a problem, right? I have a problem. If you're examining this text, as I am, and you're trying to examine it for the first time, maybe for some of you, it's the first time you've heard that story. Maybe you've heard it so many times, but as I come to this passage in John chapter 5, I have a question, and the question is this. Why? Why? Why did Jesus ask this question? I really think this is the question of the entire text. If you read this story, maybe the first time through, you have to, maybe like me, just say, why did Jesus do that? Why this question? Why didn't Jesus just walk up to, why did he even ask him a question at all? Why didn't he just walk up to the man and heal him? Why? Why did Jesus ask this question? We've been observing throughout our series, right, that Jesus uses questions as a powerful means of teaching, a powerful means of revealing truth. He could have healed the man, no questions asked, absolutely, but instead he asks this question. So I think we have to ask why. Why? Well, to answer this, I think it's important to have a little bit of context because, again, in a minute, we're going to examine this question for us, but first we need to understand Jesus speaking this question in context. So this pool where Jesus finds this man is a real place. It's a real place, the Pool of Bethesda. It's a real place in Jerusalem. They actually discovered in the last few decades the remnants of this literal place that they point to where Jesus healed this man. An Aramaic Pool of Bethesda means house of mercy or house of grace. And so what happened in the first century is many people in Israel were prone to systems or superstitions to try to understand God, to try to experience God. They didn't realize, they didn't know Jesus, that we, you know, you and I, we get to experience God through Jesus because of what Jesus has done. But they were left to kind of superstitions or other things. And so this pool was an example of that. So what happened? This pool was a spring, right? And so what do springs do? Every now and then they bubble a little bit, right? And so the belief was that when the pool bubbled, an angel was sticking its finger in the pool, kind of stirring the waters. And so the first person in the water, when the water stirred, would be healed. And so as you can imagine, it became kind of a gathering place of people with sickness and infirmities and people that were desperate for healing. And after 38 years, we know that this man, we don't know everything about him. We don't know a lot about him, but we know after 38 years, he's not been healed. We don't know that he came here for 38 years, but we know for 38 years, he's been desperate for healing and nothing could help him. And so Jesus comes to him, the one for 38 years that's been in this condition and says, do you want to get well? Why? Surely knew the desperation the man had to feel, right? Surely Jesus knew if there's one thing this man could have, it's not going to be a steak dinner or a trip to Hawaii, right? No, of course, if there's one thing he could have, he would want to be healed, right? Jesus has to know that. But in asking this, it's really that Jesus is asking a much deeper question. See, Jesus is asking, is he ready to give up of his own methods and really depend on God? Is he ready to be free from this illness, or has it become somewhat of an identity for him? Is he willing to reach out his hand for help to the only one who can truly help him? That's really what Jesus is asking in this moment. And what happens? We read it, right? Jesus heals him. The man stands up for the first time in 38 years. he walks. And if you read John 5, you know that creates some fireworks. The religious leaders don't really like this. People have questions. People have seen him day after day, week after week, lying there, and now he's walking his way through town. And as you can imagine, that creates quite a stir. So the question, do you want to get well? Imagine today if Jesus walked into the room. That would be kind of cool, right? Yeah, that would probably end the service right there. All right, you have the last word. I'm going to sit down. But if he did, if he walked in the room today, and imagine him asking you and I that question, what would you say? Before you say yes, give it some thought with me today. Because here's what I think. I think you and I are not so different. If we're reading John chapter 5 and we're trying to place ourselves within this story, I don't think you and I are that different from the paralyzed man, not as much as we think we are. Maybe today you haven't experienced physical paralysis, but you've been spiritually paralyzed, you've been emotionally paralyzed, you know what it is to have a physical need, an ailment, a sickness, something that feels paralyzing. Everyone in here can relate to a feeling of being overwhelmed. If not in the last couple of years in your lifetime, somewhere you have felt helpless before. In fact, I really believe there's three kinds of people in the room. I believe that there are those that have been there, those that are there right now, or those that will be there maybe sooner than we'd like to admit. At some point in our lives, we can relate to that feeling of being helpless. And what's the problem? The problem is we like control, don't we? It's okay, you don't have to nod your head and get yourself in trouble. It's true. We like control. We like certainty. We crave certainty. One of the hardest things about COVID and a pandemic was all of the things that we thought were certain were not certain anymore. And that revealed a lot about us, right? But it certainly revealed that we love even the illusion of certainty. We crave it in our lives. The thought of being helpless, the thought of being alone, the thought of being unable to heal ourselves or help ourselves is really uncomfortable. We don't like it. So again, back to the question of why. Why does Jesus ask this question? Why would he ask it of us today? The reason he asked the question then 2,000 years ago is the same reason that I believe he asked the question of you and I today. Because he wants to get us to the place. He wants to get us to the place where when we are alone and helpless and hurting, instead, what do we do? Sometimes we try to figure it out. We try to heal ourselves. We try to fix ourselves. Right now in our world, you know people. You work with people. You live next to people who are broken and hurting. Why? Because they're trying to do anything they can to heal themselves, and it doesn't work, does it? It doesn't work. We live in a world desperate to the pain, the loneliness, the anxiety, whatever it is that I'm experiencing. I got to do something to fix it myself, and it just doesn't work. And we feel hopeless. One biblical scholar says it this way in regards to this interaction of Jesus. He says that some perhaps may not yet have reached the place that the man by the pool had reached. They are not helpless enough. They are not ready to give up on human efforts to solve their problems. They're not yet ready to admit that they cannot make it on their own. They are still determined to get into the water when it is stirred, and Jesus can do nothing for them. Wow, that's a powerful thought. See, many of us don't really like to face the truth. We can't face the truth that we are helpless on our own. On our own. In our own power, in our own strength, we're helpless. There's nothing we can do on our own. And when Jesus asks this question, here's what he's really asking. Will you put your hope in me and me alone? Will you put your hope in me and me alone? Not hope in this pool. Not hope in the thought, maybe today is your day. Maybe today everyone else will be napping and the water will stir and you'll dive in and today's your moment. No, no, no. Will you put your hope and trust in God and God alone? That's really what Jesus is asking. There's never been a better time in my lifetime to ask this question. Some of you are younger than me. Some of you are older than me. Don't ask how old I am. I'm not going to tell you. But here's the truth. In my lifetime, I can't speak for your life. In my lifetime, there's never been a more poignant time to ask this question. Look around you. I don't have to tell you. You live in this world too. You see it. You see the brokenness. You feel the disruption. You see the anxiety. in all generations. We have students of young people growing up, the most anxious generation in history, right? We see it everywhere. And what's happening? We're putting our hope in all kinds of things. We're putting our hope in the next president, the next political leader, the next Supreme Court justice, right? That's what we're putting our hope in. We're putting our hope in the vaccine or a cure for whatever sickness we're experiencing in our lives. We're putting our hope in the next job or the next raise or the next relationship or the next opportunity, something down the road that will be better. We, everywhere, collectively, in the church, outside of the church, we're putting our hope in all kinds of things like never before. We're living in a world filled with believers who claim faith in Christ but depend on so many other things. I have hope in Jesus and my bank account. I have hope in Jesus and my accomplishments. I have hope in Jesus and my hard work. That's the truth. That's the truth today. There's never been a more important time in my life to ask this question, to hear Jesus ask this question, do you want to get well? Maybe that's not the question you wanted today, but I believe it's the question you need and I need. Each week, as I've been going through this series, I've been reframing the questions, not trying to suggest that Jesus had it wrong, reframing it for our context to help us in a very personal way respond to the question of Jesus. And so, if you weren't here 2 weeks ago, Pastor Jared launched into the first week of the series. He asked, I think it's the most important question. It's the foundation of faith. It's the foundation of understanding who Jesus is. Jesus asked this question, who do you say that I am? He asked it of his disciples, but I think he asked it of us today. Who do you say that I am? And that's the foundation question of faith. What does that question mean to me? I say it this way, do you know him? That's really what that question communicates. Because of what Jesus did, his life and death and resurrection, we just celebrated Easter, right? Because of what Jesus did for you and for me, we can know God. I don't want to miss that because I think some people in the room, maybe you didn't know that today. That you don't have to be an enemy of God. You don't have to fear. He's not way up there and you're way down here and you're, oh. No, because of Jesus, you have access to the Father, the God that made the sun rise this morning. He's going to make it set later today. He made your heart. There's all kinds of things happening in your body. You didn't have to make it do that today. He did. He's in charge of all that. He's a big God, right? And you can know him today because of Jesus. That's powerful. The second week in our series, we built on that question because the second week, last week, if you were here, the question is why Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? This was not a question to the pagans. This is not a question to those outside. This is a question of those that claim faith in Jesus. They're calling him Lord. So Jesus says, why do you call me Lord and then not do what I say? And what does that question really mean? That question is really, do you obey him? Do you know him? Man, that's great. Don't lose that. That's huge. But do you obey him? Do you do what he says? If not, why? Why would you call him Lord? Why would you know him intimately and not do what he says? Why would you live your life just saying, well, God says this, but I'm going to do my thing. Why? Do you obey him? And then this week, I want to suggest that we can frame the question of Jesus this way. Do you need him? Do you need him? Do you really need him today? Like more than anything else, are you desperate for him? What are you desperate for in your life right now? Some of us, I'm desperate for clarity. I'm desperate for wisdom. You know what? No, you're not. That's what's keeping you from really, really trusting God. That's what's keeping you from really depending on God. The question today is, do you need him? It's really a yes or no question. Many of us, though, often it can be a yes and. Yes, I need you, and I've got some backup options here in case it doesn't work. That would be like me coming home to Lauren today and be like, Lauren, you know I love you. You know that we committed a lifetime of marriage together, but I've got some backup options here, just some numbers in my phone, just in case. How do you think that would go? Not well, right? But that's what we do to Jesus all the time. You gave your life for me. You died for me so that I could know you, so that I could be in relationship with you, but I got some backup options here in case your plans don't really work out, in case your timing's not really to my liking. I like to often, when I share a message, I like to try to break it down into, I sometimes call it the bottom line, just a takeaway for us. And this week, it's challenging me. It's thought-provoking. It almost offends me a little bit. But that's because the question that Jesus asked today offended me. And so I want to share it with you, but then I want to explain a little bit what I mean. I think the takeaway for us today is this, that when you're ready, he is. Now, that's a really wide open statement, so let me explain a little bit about what that means. I think that the message of Jesus, that question, do you need him, I think it really gets down to this statement. And I would encourage you, I would invite you to take this truth, this statement on the screen, because I believe it's true. I believe it's straight out of the story, the truth of God's word. I would invite you to take this somewhat, write it down, take it with you as you go, wrestle with this throughout the week, because I promise you that if you keep bringing it before the Lord, he's going to show you that it's true. I want to preface it to say this. We don't proclaim, at Church of Nazarene, we don't proclaim a health and wealth gospel. We don't believe that God is this magic genie, and if you pray the right prayer a number of times and do the right thing, outspits the miracle that you're hoping for. That, you know, the goal is do this and this and this, and then you'll be healthy and you'll be wealthy and all those things. And I just say that to say there's some really warped theology out there. And so maybe somewhere in your life you were led to believe that. And I just want to preface this to say that's not what this is. This is not like when you're ready to claim your, then God will do it. That's not it. Because you know what? That's not really about needing God. That's about using God for your glory. That's not about needing God to serve him for his glory. That's about using God for your glory and benefit. And that's just not biblical. It's not true. And so I just want to make sure today that we're on the same page and we understand that. And with that said, understanding that, I want you to understand that this truth, I want to allow it to sink into your heart and your mind and your soul. I want you to believe it. This week when you leave here, I want there to be freedom because you're living this truth. The truth is this, that when you're ready to surrender, when you're ready to give up the pool that you're laying next to, when you're ready to give up the things that are propping you up, the false props that hold you up, that they're giving you the appearance of certainty in your life, when you're ready to give those things up, when you're ready to surrender, God is ready to move in your life. It's not a formula. It's not, don't make it that. Well, if I do this, then God will give me. No. It's not like that. But I want to declare emphatically today that when you're ready to surrender whatever it is you're holding on, whatever it is you're hoping in today, he's ready to move. He's ready to redeem. He's ready to heal. He's ready to speak to you. Some of you are like, God, I don't feel like God's saying anything. Well, what is it that you're holding on to today? Because maybe you can't hear his voice. You're not really surrendered to him. When you're ready, he's ready. When you're ready, he's ready. Some of us today, you think you know what you're ready for. You're telling God, this is it, it's coming. But I think of this often. I've been praying lately, God, you know what I need more than I do. That's what this means, to really need him more than anything else, is to say, God, I need what you have for me more than what I think. Parents, you understand this, right? How many times do our kids want things and we say, you know, maybe not out loud to them all the time, but man, I think I know what you need more than you do. I'm your parent. I love you. And if that's true from an earthly parent, imagine your heavenly father today. How much more he knows what you need today. And so today, the truth is, when you're ready to let go, when you're ready to surrender, when you're ready to declare, God, I need you more than anything else, he's ready. He's ready to do something in your life. It's greater than, you're asking for this. He's got something better than that. It's greater than what you could ask or think or imagine. May not be the healing that you thought, but it's something else. And God's ready to move when you're ready to surrender to him. There's a video here on the screen. And as you see it today, I want you to imagine Jesus asking you that question today. Do you want to get well? Take a look.
This is what all the fuss is about. An oversized mikveh.
I have a feeling we haven't seen it all yet.
The one who's been here the longest. But doesn't belong. The sad one.
Why do I get the feeling this isn't just a meeting? Do we need to be on the lookout?
No. Just stay with me and watch.
Shalom.
Me?
Yes.
Shalom.
I have a question for you.
For me. I don't have many answers, but I'm listening.
Do you want to be healed?
Who are you?
We'll get to that later. But my question remains.
Will you take me to the water? Look, I'm having a really bad day.
You've been having a bad day for a long time. So?
Sir, I have no one to help me into the water when it's stirred up. And when I do get close, the others step down in front of me. And so...
Look at me. Look at me. That's not what I asked. I'm not asking you about who's helping you, or who's not helping, or who's getting in your way. I'm asking about you.
I've tried.
For a long time, I know. And you don't want false hope again, I understand. But this pool, it has nothing for you. It means nothing. And you know it. But you're still here. Why?
I don't know.
Need this pool. You only need me. So, do you want to be healed? So let's go. Get up. Pick up your mat. And walk.
Free to walk, like he said. Don't forget your bed.
Why does this matter?
Because you're not coming back here. That life is over. Everything changes now.
You don't need that pool You only need me. I'm going to invite you. Would you bow your heads with me today? I want to pray for you in a minute. In a minute, we're all going to stand and we're going to just sing a closing song, a declaration. But before we do that, as I was praying for you today and this week, as I was preparing to be here, I just felt the Lord speaking to me about some of us in the room, some of the struggles we might be facing today. So I believe some of us today might be saying, Lord, I want to be free from fear. But today you won't surrender your need to know every step or every detail. You have to have clarity. You won't surrender your need to be in control. Today, I believe some of us might be saying, Lord, I want peace, true peace. But you won't stop turning to other things, self-medicating with cheap pleasures, empty pursuits. Today, I believe some of us would say, Lord, I want your peace. But I also desperately want the approval of my friends and my co-workers and my family. Some today might be saying, Lord, I want my marriage restored, but I won't surrender my need to be right, to dig up past mistakes and justify my anger. Some might be saying, Lord, I want to know what it is to be loved, truly loved, but I keep chasing after other people and other things to fill that void. Church family, today, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, in a minute, we're all going to stand, but I feel led. I believe there's someone in the room today. This question from Jesus is so personal, because today, there's some other things you're holding on to. That question, do you need him? Your answer would be yes, but there's all kinds of other things you're clinging to today. So before we all stand and sing, I want to give you an opportunity, if that's you today. Would you just have the courage to stand to your feet? It's really not a performance or a spectacle. It's really just you saying, Lord, I need you today. Lord, I surrender the pool I've been sitting beside. I'm not trusting in that anymore. I need you. I'm desperate for you and you alone. If that's you today, would you just have the courage to stand to your feet? I want to pray for you. You're not alone. Last service, they're all throughout the room. Individuals stood just saying, yeah, that's me today. So if that's you, when you're ready, he's ready. When you're ready to surrender, he's ready to work and move and meet you in a new way. Move in your life in a powerful way. Jesus, I thank you today for the words that you've spoken to our hearts. Maybe not the question we wanted, but man, the question that we needed. And all around this room today, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ, brothers and sisters on this journey. And it is hard sometimes. It's overwhelming sometimes. We feel like that paralyzed man laying there, hopeless and alone. But we hear your voice today and we respond by saying, yes, I need you. Yes. So forgive us, God, when we trust in other things to prop us up when really all we need is you. So I pray right now and believe that you're going to work. You're moving right now in our circumstances in ways that we can't see. As we trust you and we surrender to you, we're trusting that you're going to move in your way, in your timing, that you're going to redeem, that you're going to restore, that you're going to show us things we wouldn't have seen when we were trusting in ourselves. Lord, we believe in faith today. We believe in faith that you're moving in us and around us for your glory, not for our benefit so that we can get everything that we, no, but for your glory so that everyone around us would know God is good and he's faithful. Look what he can do. We pray in faith and believe that you hear us. In Jesus' name, church family, let's stand. Let's sing this beautiful closing song, declaring that we need him and him alone today.
Thank you so much for listening today. You can email us at info@cotnaz.org for any questions about our church. When you're done listening today, please subscribe to this channel for updates and new episodes.